Okay, well, this time of the calendar, as already noted, is a strange one between Christmas and the New Year. The celebrations of Jesus' birth have wound down, and we're coming to a time when we tend to look back over the year, take stock of our lives, and think about our hopes and our aspirations for the coming year. So rather than it just being a crimbo limbo, it's actually a great opportunity to think, but both more quietly about the awesomeness of the incarnation without the distractions of other things that happens at Christmas time. And also to intentionally invite Jesus to be Lord of our lives as we enter the next chapter of our journey. We don't know what the next year will bring, but we can make ourselves aware of God's presence and to intentionally decide to walk with him. So today we're continuing looking at the words of various carols, and O Come All Ye Faithful is what we're looking at today. But rather than just talking about them, what I'll do is give, well, for each verse I'll give a few thoughts, then there'll be scripture readings, there'll be a song on video, and there'll be times of silence, just for a couple of minutes, when we can ponder on what we're hearing. And most importantly, listen to what God is saying to us through it. That's really the object of this time, is to listen to God, to, when we leave this place, to just know that we've heard something that God has said to us into our own situation. So that's what we'll be doing. So if we look at the first verse, very familiar words. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Who are the faithful ones? To be faithful, to be steadfast, to be reliable, to be dependable. The word that's often used in the scriptures is emunim, which is linked to the word amen. Something solid, something firm. But there's also another word which is sometimes used in the scriptures, which I was drawn to while I was thinking about this. For instance, in Psalm 50, it says, gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the word used there is hasidim. Some of us may know the word hesed, which is translated loving kindness, steadfast love, covenant love. There are various reasons why we might want to be faithful. We might want to be faithful out of duty. We might want to be faithful because we believe it's a good thing to do. Or we might want to be, or we might be faithful out of loving kindness. Now, to be motivated by loving kindness is not something we can choose to do in the same way as we can choose to be faithful. But what we can choose to do is ask God to enable loving kindness within us. It's that sort of faithfulness that God has shown to us, and as his followers, it's the sort of faithfulness that we are called to show to God and to each other. Now, a character in the Nativity story who came to my mind when I was thinking about this was Joseph. Now, Joseph isn't mentioned very much in the scripture. Nothing of what he said was recorded. He's always very much in the shadow of Mary. And yet, if Joseph hadn't been the man that he was, the nativity story couldn't have happened the way it did. Even before he met the angel in the dream, he wanted to do the best for Mary. And when the angel confirmed what had happened, Joseph went ahead with the wedding and stood by Mary as the nativity story unfolded. And Joseph was the man who, together with Mary, raised Jesus as his own son. You know, what would that have been like? We've already been thinking about what Mary might have been thinking. Now we can think of what Joseph might have been thinking. We're not told, but we can use our imagination. So what we'll do now is have a song on video by Michael Card, who some of us may know. Which just explores what it must have felt like for Joseph to know that he was called to be the earthly father of the Son of God. So we'll have the song and then a couple of minutes of quiet silence just to ponder it before we move on to the verse 2. So we have a video now. Familiar words, God of God, light of light, Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. In fact, these words are taken from the Nicene Creed, which is the belief that almost all the 2 billion Christians in the world will believe. And in the original, it includes the words, "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made." Now, if we find the idea of Jesus being both God and, you know, fully God and fully human at the same time, then we're by no means alone. Although that's what Christians believed right back in the first century, it took over 300 years before that was written down, before the bishops could come up with a form of words that everybody, or at least most people, would agree on. And even then, there was quite a bit of argument afterwards. The incarnation is something we can't really understand. It's our finite minds not capable of grasping. I mean, there are various pictures around, such as water being, but can be ice or liquid or steam. You know, water, you know, one substance in three forms, but that doesn't really work because Jesus was God and human at the same time, not just at different times. A better one, but still limited, is a beam of light. A beam of light can look like a wave, or it could look like a stream of particles, and it's actually both at the same time. But the nature of a beam of light doesn't change. What changes is the way that we look at it. And that's closer. The nature of God doesn't change. But sometimes we'll see him as the Son, sometimes as the Father, sometimes as the Holy Spirit. But really, we can just ponder it, just receive the paradox. We're not going to be able to understand it completely, but we can hold that in our minds and ponder in awe that God has done this, that he became fully human despite being fully God. So now what we'll hear some scripture readings from Colossians and from Philippians, which speak about this, the two aspects of God. And as we listen to the readings, and again we'll have a time of silence just for a couple of minutes afterwards, let's just marvel at what we hear and what it means for us, and listen to what God would say to us through it. So Hannah will come up and read for us.
Colossians 1:15-17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Verses 3 and 4 of this carol are both very much celebrations of what has gone before. So I'll just take the two as as a single entity. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest, Jesus, to thee be glory given. The rejoicing of the angels in the shepherd's field was just a sample of what will happen in heaven when the Lamb of God is revealed in all his glory. And here we've got a picture, or we've got the next slide, a depiction of the scene in heaven when Jesus is revealed. We have, you know, Jesus is standing there. He still has his wounds. And amazingly, he's not sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Father, which is his destiny. But he's standing in front of the crowds. He's presenting his redeemed people to the Father. He's standing with us. You know, sometimes we can think, well, I can think perhaps of the throne of God as being so magnificent, so wonderful, and so distant that it's impossible to connect. And yet the amazing thing about Jesus having come down to identify with us is that although the throne of God is magnificent, we can be a part of that. And just as Jesus came down to earth to become one with us, just as he is now interceding for us with the Father, then so he will do in heaven. He will present us as a spotless bride to the Father. It's an awesome vision. I find it an awesome vision anyway, and a picture like that can't really do it justice, but it can perhaps point us in the right direction. So we now have another reading, this time from the book of Revelation, which will describe that scene. And then again, a couple of minutes of silence to let the enormity of it sink in and to see what that image would say to us and what God would say to us through it. So Steve will now come up and read to us.
Yes, this reading is from Revelation 5, starting at verse 6. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if he had been slain, standing in the centre of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and every people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of the many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped.
As we approach the new year, we can do so in the light of who Jesus is and what we've heard about from this carol, what he's done for us, what he will do for us, and what he's calling us to. And to finish this meditation, I just want to read some words which are often read at the new year. And in fact, somebody posted them at the back of the church like a year ago, made famous by King George VI, who read it in his Christmas speech in 1939, just after the start of the Second World War. Although we're not expecting any disasters like that this year, they're good words to take with us into the new year. So I shall read them now. There's a poem by Minnie Louise Hawkins, but I think it's more famously George VI. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. If we can take those words into the new year with us, they'll be worth more than any number of New Year's resolutions. And it's something we can always come back to at any time. Amen. I think we're now going to sing the carol now.